Here's a question. What TV show did entertainment powerhouse Lucille Ball save from cancellation that was not I Love Lucy? The answer is Star Trek. This one is even better. Who convinced actress Nichelle Nichols, who played Uhura in the original Star Trek, to stay with the show, even though she was the only African-American in the cast? That would be Martin Luther King Jr. Oh, yeah.
The stories will involve human beings in jeopardy. Sometimes me. I play Captain Kirk of the spaceship.
Many such galactic gems are to be found in a massive book, The 50-Year Mission, the complete uncensored, unauthorized oral history of Star Trek, the first 25 years. Actors, writers, producers, and just about anyone who's worked on this cult classic. Journalist Edward Gross is co-author of this authoritative tome and says that the little starship that could, that Lucy, of all people, saved, went on to save the universe.
There were a show that was struggling to stay on the air for all three seasons that it was on. It was threatened with cancellation in season one, threatened with cancellation in season two, and then fell apart in season three, even though they got their last season, which gave them enough episodes for syndication. So I don't think you could be in that environment and actively think, well, people don't appreciate it now, but someday they're going to appreciate this.
Is there a consensus in this group of what episode is the best or the one that captured what Star Trek was trying to say about the future?
Devil in the Dark was the episode with the Horta. And that's the
right
now everybody says, oh, the Horta, you know, and everyone goes to that as one of the classic episodes. But I think it's really symbolic of where we are as a society in the future, you know, in the sense of here's this creature. It's killing people. It's wiping people out. But then we find out that the reason it's doing it is because what the miners are mining are its children, its eggs. So in the end, it's saying this is an intelligent being. It's different from us, but it needs to survive. We're the ones who are the enemies. We're in its territory.
Tons of references to The City on the Edge of Forever.
The classic episode.
Which has Joan Collins.
Right.
I actually interviewed Joan Collins about being in that episode.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, she's so proud of it.
She should be.
Yeah.
It's a great episode. Harlan hates it.
Harlan Ellison.
The writer who wrote the original script, despises the episode.
Why does Spock call you captain? Were you in the war together?
We served together.
And you don't want to talk about it? Why? Did you do something wrong? Are you afraid of something?
And the reason he hates it is because, you know, at the end of the episode, Joan Collins is crossing the street. Edith Keeler is crossing the street. A truck is approaching. Now, Kirk has the choice. I save her or I let her die. And he ultimately chooses to throw himself into Bones, you know, McCoy's arms, and she dies. In Harlan's original story, he was willing to go and sacrifice everything for love. And Spock stopped him from doing so.
What's the real story on the relationship between the originals and the TNGs, the Next Generation?
Well, it was very interesting because when the show began, when Next Generation began, they were all against it. They came out very publicly against it, the actors. I mean, they were still making the movies. So I think they felt, and with good reason, I think, after all the years of people, you know, proclaiming them as gods of television, that they were Star Trek. And the idea of trying to do it with somebody else was insulting to them, and it would never work as far as they were concerned.
Yeah, right, because they were using real actors like Patrick Stewart as opposed to Shatner, who—
Hey, don't mess with the Shat. That's all I can tell you.
Did you spend a lot of time with Shatner?
I've spent some time. He's not a very talkative fellow. He's a funny guy in the sense of if you get him in a great mood, he does a great interview. If you get him in a bad mood, he does one-word answers. It's very, very interesting. Yeah.
My favorite of the movies, the Wrath of Khan movie, is fantastic. Corrected all of the mistakes of the first movie.
Oh, absolutely. Because the first movie was trying to be something very different from what even the episodes were. It embraced the notion of going out in space and the notion of humanity taking the next step. It really embraced it and tried to deal with some serious ideas. It just did it in a slow manner.
The Whale movie. It's fantastic.
The Voyage Home.
Voyage Home.
And it's very funny because a lot of people dismiss that one. It's really a good movie and it really captures Star Trek.
Got great lines. I'm from Iowa. I only work in outer space.
Who are you?
Who do you think I am?
Don't tell me. You're from outer space. No, I'm from Iowa. I only work in outer space.
Great line.
Absolutely.
And yep. And when Chekhov goes, take us to the nuclear vessels.
The nuclear vessels.
The nuclear vessels. Take us. And he's asking cops this. And this is in the middle of the 80s, mm-hmm. at the height of the Reagan sort of Cold War. So the idea that a Russian person –
And they have that cop just staring at him.
Yeah.
But you know what's so good about it is they have all the funny lines, but there's a moment between Shatner and Catherine Hicks.
Who plays the Iowa teacher.
Right. Well, the marine biologist.
Right. Biologist, exactly.
And they're in the Klingon ship, and they've turned the ship into a tank, and they're looking at the whales. And Shatner just delivers a line like, you know, it's ironic.
You know, it's ironic when man was killing these creatures, he was destroying his own future.
Now, that may not seem like much of a line, but that embodies Star Trek. Observing our modern behaviors and projecting it into the future.
What's the story with Roddenberry? They thank him in every movie. Is he a happy person? Is he someone who is abused by the studio? Is he a visionary? He certainly seems to have owned the rights to everything because he's got his name on everything.
Roddenberry's a visionary. He came up with Star Trek. He came up with the concept of Star Trek, and that alone allows him to, you know, warrants any sort of praise that wants to be thrown on him. The problem is that as good a visionary as he is, his writing didn't match his vision in the sense of he needed other people to help guide Star Trek. And he did. Like Gene L. Kuhn came in the middle of first season of the show. And if you look at the episodes, he was there for about a year. And if you look at the episodes, he really honed in on what Star Trek is, which takes nothing away from Roddenberry as the creator of Star Trek.
So let's end on Nimoy. It seemed when I saw the whale movie that he'd totally come around, that he basically had recognized that was a thing to value and that his career really took off when he reintegrated Spock back into his life.
But the thing was, in the 70s, every one of those actors struggled. So you have these guys who can't break away from the image of Star Trek or the baggage of Star Trek. And yet need to work. They need to keep going forward. And Leonard Nimoy, if you look at that time period, he busted his butt. But then when they wanted to make the first movie, he had them in the position where, well, you're going to have to settle this with me or I'm not doing the movie. And yet the first movie was a miserable experience for him and everybody because it was just such a long process. And the end result, everybody hated at the time. Wrath of Khan, Harv Bennett, who took over from Roddenberry as producer, said, well, what if we kill Spock? What if we give you the opportunity to play your death scene? And Nimoy liked that. Not that he hated the character of Spock, but he figured, all right, I'll come back one more time and give him a dignified exit. So he came back, and he had such a good time that he came back. He said, I'll come back for three. I want to direct. And they said yes.
Edward Gross is the co-author of The 50-Year Mission, the complete, uncensored, unauthorized oral history of Star Trek the first 25 years.
Thanks so much for having me.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.